Welcome to Power Play, on a day when senators will decide if pot legalization lives or dies in a vote with an uncertain outcome. Coming up, Canada's guru of parliamentary procedure sizes up the ramifications of the Senate going rebel against the government's cannabis legislation, and we will be joined by a senator leading the charge against the bill. Also, sticking with games politicians play, we'll talk to the MPs about an official opposition move with late-night ramifications. The House of Commons faces a prolonged series of votes trying to force the Prime Minister's National Security Advisor into answering questions about India's role in the Atwal affair. And the first earth-shaking blast in what could soon be an international trade war hit China today from the Trump White House. We will discuss the ramifications of today's $50 billion tariff with our eyes on the president and find out how China will retaliate. But first, the Senate has gone to pot with debate on a bill that, if it's defeated, resets the legalization move to zero. That prospect got this reaction from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
We're moving forward on a responsible regime. The Senate, of course, exists to look at bills put forward by the House, to suggest improvements, to think about the impact on Canadians. But it's very clear the current system is not protecting our communities, is not protecting our kids, needs to be improved. And that's exactly what we're doing.
All right, let's discuss the ramifications of a rebel alliance in the Red Chamber with an expert on parliamentary tactics. Former law clerk and parliamentary counsel Rob Walsh. Walsh joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show again.
Just
set the scene. This is a key election promise that the government made. It passed through the House of Commons. It's hit the Senate. It's going to what's usually a technical formality of second reading. It might be defeated in the next hour or two. Are they going, to borrow a phrase, one toke over the parliamentary line on this one?
Some would think so. It's hard. It's difficult to know where the line is now with this so many so-called independent members. So the profile or the role of the Senate arguably is not what we've been used to in the past, where there was an expectation that the Senate would defer to the House, and particularly on a matter that the government, the party in power, had campaigned on and got elected on, and now it's passed and it comes over. Usually what the Senate does is look at a bill and consider how it might be improved, suggest amendments, send the amendments back to the House. Some might be accepted, many might not, and it would come back to the House accordingly, to the Senate, rather, and then the Senate would finally vote and pass the bill.
Why would they do this even before they have a conversation about what could be done to improve it? What's your suspicion here?
Well, you might ask. Why going so quickly to kill a bill? Usually you would let the thing pass second reading and go to a committee. And at committee, you'd do the up close and personal on the bill, and you'd look at making amendments and have witnesses come in to talk about the bill and so on. But no, the conservatives ostensibly are hoping to defeat the bill at second reading. I suspect, and I'm only just an outsider here, that they're looking to see how independent this Senate is, how independent these various independent senators are. They must have some intelligence that tells them that this is a very sensitive topic, the legalization of marijuana, and that there might be some independent senators who would really like to see that bill disappear. Well, are they going to vote against it at second reading? Probably not. If they really feel strongly about the bill, they can vote against it at third reading later, but go through the committee process in the meantime. Who knows? But I think there's an attempt here, perhaps, to try and see how independent is this independent Senate. And, of course, we don't know. We don't know what independent means in terms of the Senate yet. It's early days.
Well, help me with this, because there's a lot of people out there that have already made plans, and there's a lot of money banking on this bill going forward in one shape or the other. Legalization is supposed to come in July, but it'll be later than that now. What's the government's reaction? What could the government do if it is defeated today?
Well, procedurally in the Senate, there may be steps they can take to overcome the defeat of the motion today. I mean, don't forget, if the government has the majority of senators on their side, which might be hard to suppose if they, in fact, lose this motion, then presumably a majority of the senators are against them. Then the only question is whether they can maybe wait. They can't put the same question twice in the same session. So maybe if there's a prorogation and then there's another session, they can put the same bill before the senators then, and maybe there'll be a change of heart. I just think it's highly unlikely you're going to see this motion defeated, only because it's just premature. Well, although I gather some people are concerned that maybe some senators won't show up.
Right.
And so there might be the conservatives might be successful just by default because not enough senators show up to support the motion.
Rob, do you think this is the future of how we deal with Senate legislation? Do you think we're going to have this suspense all the time? Will they or won't they kill it early or kill it prematurely?
Well, of course, The Americans have lived with a two-body, two-chamber system for years, and they have a lot of conflict back and forth, as you know. I think, yes, we're still exploring. What does independence in the Senate mean? But more importantly, how do senators see their role as an unelected, appointed chamber vis-a-vis an elected chamber where the members go back for re-election every 4 years? So I think that there's some thinking needed to be done by senators, and I think that from time to time, senators may be tempted to defeat a bill, but I think most of them would rather suggest changes, make the argument for changes, criticize the government if the changes aren't accepted, but leave it at that. Yeah. But that's what I think they should do. But however, who knows? What does independence mean these days?
That's a quick point, and I know it's just a sort of a game they're playing, and the opposition's got these votes all night long, if necessary. They want to get this national security advisor in front of MPs to talk about whether India conspired to embarrass Canada over this Atwal incident that we are probably pretty familiar with. Does this work? You've seen this. You've probably sat in the middle of the House of Commons as this has gone down.
Listen, oppositions have two tactics they can use. One is to shout loudly, and the other is to carry their stick, their very small stick, which is essentially one of delaying the proceedings. And they're going to punish the Liberals if they don't support their motion today by making them stay up all night. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, you know, you're playing the game of football, and the guy who says, I'm going to take the ball home and if you don't play by my rules. I don't want to play anymore unless you're going to play by my rules. Come on. You know, you put your motion, it's defeated, move on. No, instead they're going to try to keep all members of Parliament, or a large number of them, up for 40 hours or something on a vote which won't change the result. There's no way a government is going to let itself be blackmailed into producing a witness by this kind of tactic. It's just, but it's not unprecedented. It's happened in the past. It's happened in the past.
All right. All right, Rob, thanks very much. Appreciate you coming in. Always interesting. Okay. Well, let's get back to that Senate vote on the pot legalization bill, which, as I said, will be coming down this evening, perhaps in the next hour or two. Conservative Senator Leo Houssakos has been listening in to my conversation with Rob Walsh, and he joins us from the Senate. So I want your reaction to Rob Walsh on this one, Leo. You know, really, are you overstepping the bounds of what you're supposed to do by pushing for this defeat at second reading?
No, not at all, Donna. We have a constitutional responsibility as legislators, and I invite the Prime Minister and anybody else to read the latest Supreme Court decision on the role of the Senate, and it was quite clear on our role and our constitutional obligations and responsibilities. And I think we would be neglecting them if we get a piece of legislation that is devoid of any scientific facts and any support whatsoever. And if we would pass this bill in its current form or allow this to go forward, it would be a breach of our fundamental responsibilities as senators.
Okay, but you're voting to kill it off even before a committee can discuss about ways to improve it or amend it. Isn't that premature?
Don, that's where the misconception here lies. This bill has passed through the House of Commons. It went through review. It went through committees. It went through discussions. There was a national task force put into place by this government, and we feel that that national task force hasn't done its job. When you ask legislators to review a piece of legislation as fundamental as this one, it has to be substantiated by scientific fact, by scientific data. You have to have consulted wide and properly on this. I'll give you a small example. Health Canada just announced only 2 weeks ago that they are doing a scientific analysis of wastewater treatment in the country to see what the marijuana level of use is. Don't you think the government should have done this analysis 2 years ago? Shouldn't they have done these type of analysis before they tabled the bill in the House of Commons, before they brought it to the Senate? They keep making this claim that marijuana use amongst young people in Canada is the highest in the world. Yet when we ask them to provide studies, when we ask them to provide methodologies of those studies, we're still waiting. So when you have such a lack of scientific support for a piece of legislation like this, and it's so clear the government hasn't done its due diligence, how can we go forward and do our job in sober second thought in a responsible fashion?
All right, let's raise Rob Walsh's theory on this, that you're just trying to test the independents and see if they're sticking together as a block or they could be splintered apart and join you. Is that what you're doing really here?
No, what we're really doing is taking an unprecedented step, and he is right to defeat something at second reading because the government has to go back to the drawing board. They have to look at various other models in trying to solve the problem of marijuana use amongst young people. They claim that they want to put into place $60 million for education. That $60 million for education should have been put into place 2 years ago, not 2 months after you legalized marijuana. These are some of the major weaknesses with this bill. So what we're doing is the unprecedented step of telling the government government, do your homework, come back with a piece of legislation that is supported by science, that is supported by some of the comments that the Canadian concerns are addressed of the Canadian Medical Association. We have every single police chief across the country saying that if we pass the legislation in its current form, we're going to have a replay of what's going on in the state of Colorado, where we've seen a spike in fatal accidents on the road because of people driving high. Yet the government has ignored that completely in this piece of legislation. So what we're doing, we know, is unprecedented, but we think it's the responsible thing to do. Now, I also want to highlight, Don, that in order for this bill to be defeated, it's not conservatives that were defeated. We're a minority in the Senate. The majority of the Senate's made up of Trudeau-appointed senators, and each and every one of them in the last few weeks have expressed concerns about this legislation. I hope they do the right thing. And I hope that they're reminded of the fact that Mr. Trudeau made another electoral promise, which was Senate independence. And I hope they're allowed to vote their conscience, though I suspect from the comments of the Prime Minister today, he's reneging on that promise, and he's calling upon his senators that he's appointed to not vote their conscience, and that's very disturbing as well.
Well, certainly that proves that you're at least a secondary consideration here is to test the independence block of them all. But I want to curious, you're a man with pretty good antenna. You can pick up which way things are going to go. Any doubt that this vote will be defeated in the sense that the bill will go forward to committee despite your best efforts to kill it?
Well, I, for one, and conservative colleagues are doing the principled thing. We understand that this bill is not ready. It doesn't solve the problem the government claims it wants to solve, which is reducing the use of marijuana amongst young people. It's going to have quite the contrary effect. And really, at the end of the day, I hope that independent or self, you know, the Trudeau senators that claim to be independent will actually walk the talk. And they themselves have shared concerns in their discourse and in their speeches. And now they have an opportunity to show that they're responsible senators and will do the right thing. We're not killing the bill. We're sending the bill back to the government and saying, do your homework, do your due diligence, and come back when it's ready.
All right, Senator Housakis, thanks for joining us. Appreciate this.
Thank you.
All right, PowerPlay always welcomes your views on this or any other topic. You can reach out to us through social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. You can also contact us via our email. Our address is powerplay@ctvnews.ca. Well, coming up, the night of the long votes approaches for the House of Commons. Please stay with it. The MPs are next. Welcome back. Our powerhouse trio of MPs have lined up. They're anxious to get disagreeing with each other, so let's get them going. Ruby Sahota is a Liberal MP from Brampton. Shannon Stubbs is a Conservative MP from Central Alberta. And Rachel Blaney is a Vancouver Island NDP MP. She said I said Winnipeg last time or Manitoba or something. I didn't. I did. Maybe I did.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, let's not talk about it. All right, you got to vote tonight. You could go all night long. And I'm just wondering if you brought your sleeping bags and your pajamas and all that sort of stuff. Ruby, I got to ask you, since this is all about trying to get a national security advisor who whispered everything into journalists' ears about this India trip that you were on, by the way, where this Mr. Atwal was invited to a reception. He did have an attempted murder conviction to his record. Big foo-for-on. Some people thought that was India trying to embarrass Canada. So what is wrong with having this man, this national Daniel Jean, come before MPs and at least say what he told journalists into their ear?
Well, first of all, I mean, our security minister has said that he was invited. It was a mistake. We rescinded the invitation once it was realized who he was. So moving on from that, you know, our national security agencies are very competent, and we don't want, you know, right now it feels that the opposition is just trying to destroy their credibility. And their interest is keeping Canadians safe and Canadian interests first, and doesn't really matter what other countries are doing. So they're trying to protect Canada, protect our national security. And we really do feel that this is just a ploy to destroy their credibility. And so there's no need for it. We trust our agencies, and we're going to continue to do so. They're some of the smartest and brightest in the world.
Nothing to see here, Shannon. What do you keep pushing this for?
Well, because if one wants to talk about credibility, then I think all of us can have a discussion about the Liberals' consistent inability to keep their promises. So you'll remember that they said that transparency and accountability was one of their major priorities. I think even at one time they said they would be the most transparent government in Canadian history. Of course, I think even on your show last year, the information commissioner said, in fact, there's never been a government more difficult to get information from in
Canada. Let's get this to Daniel Jean.
But there continues to be a lack of clarity about what exactly has happened here. So we are simply requesting that the National Security Advisor, who made the claim that the convicted attempted murderer was there as a rogue conspiracy in the Indian government, come to the committee to share exactly the same information that he provided to reporters and to media, to be accountable to Canadians through the members of parliament, through the committee.
So, Rachel, is this worth staying up all night for, to try and force the Liberals when you know they're not going to do it?
Well, I think it's really disappointing, and Canadians want answers. There's so many things that have happened. There's still a lot of lack of clarity about what this trip was really about anyways, what was the measurable outcomes of this trip, and now here we are asking just to have Canadians understand and know what was said directly to the media, and make that transparent. So basically, you know, sadly, for 1 hour of testimony in committee, we are going to be staying up all night long to make sure that this government knows that they have to be accountable to Parliament, and they have to be accountable to Canadians. And I think exactly agree with you. This is a government that said they were going to be the most transparent government ever. And so one side to the end, here we are. It's a big mess. Canadians deserve better.
The trip was about, I mean, there's many people we can talk to about this trip. I'd love to talk to the Indo-Canadian Chamber of Commerce president about the trip, the Canada-India Business Council that arranged all the meetings,
concern.
And that's what the trip was about. So I really hope that one day the media invites them in, and the opposition wants to talk to them also about, you know, all the business meetings that happened, all of the commercial trade that did take place.
I'm
and
sure
that is
about
that is truly that. What the trip was about.
But Mr. Jean allegedly told reporters that India was creating an embarrassment to Canada.
That's right.
And then India pushed back. This was a big diplomatic incident.
And which one is it?
And Canadians deserve clarity on that.
Yes. Well, right now, I feel that what we're trying to do is keep Canada's best interest at heart. And I don't know if the Conservatives are looking at another country's best interest, but we're going to be
The Liberals are not serving the best interests of Canada when they have a train wreck of a trip and then spin a narrative about either their mistakes or agree with a claim that would be made that then involves the Indian government, the High Commission, the Prime Minister's office, saying the accusations were baseless and unacceptable, creating a huge diplomatic conflict between Canada and the biggest democracy and fastest growing economy in the world, okay. India. And again, the Liberals should be saying yes to that National Security Advisor coming to the committee to answer these questions to Canadians through members of Parliament, because they already briefed media.
You'll have a chance to vote on this tonight over and over and over. Okay, Rachel, I want to go to you on this one. The Senate, as you know, is teeing up a possible defeat of a bill. I know where the NDP is coming from on the Senate. They haven't got a whole lot of time for them. How do you feel that an unelected, basically unaccountable body is going to try and torpedo a key election promise that this government made and won a lot of votes on, I would probably suspect? What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I can't agree more. The reality, this is a very unaccountable Senate. They're not elected, and they're making decisions about legislation that will impact this whole country. And it is concerning because a lot of communities, I think from the very beginning, this has been just a schmozzle. You know, a lot of communities were calling my office saying, what do we do? People are opening up office. When is it going to be legal? What's happening? The RCMP are very concerned. There's a lot of concerns that are not being addressed quickly enough, and the resources aren't there. And now we have the Senate holding it up. So, you know, I think about the communities that are just going to have to deal with this over and over and over again. And so I challenge the government to start telling us, what does an independent Senate look like? And what about accountability to Canadians who elected a government because this is one of their priorities? So we have a lot of questions, and the Senate needs to answer.
I guess, Shannon, these are Conservatives mostly that are voting to kill the bill today. And I guess I got to ask you, like, do you support what your caucus colleagues are doing in there, which is killing a bill without even getting it to a place where you can discuss or amend it?
Well, I think part of the reason that conservatives support senators being elected is because now you're clearly seeing the Senate does, in fact, have sweeping legislative powers, almost exactly the same mm-hmm. as the House of Commons if they choose to exercise them. So, and as I think my colleague mentioned previously, it will be a test for those people who supported the Liberals and bought their line on the independent senators about just how much the Prime Minister actually agrees with that. But I have to agree with my colleague. You know, we have been saying this bill is being rushed. The Liberals were just trying to ram it through to meet an arbitrary deadline, I guess, for the one political promise they wanted to keep. despite the overwhelming testimony from witnesses and experts, of course, they believe in evidence and expert-based decision-making, from law enforcement saying they're not prepared for impaired driving, from medical representatives worried about the age of use or impact on kids, of municipalities saying they're not ready to deal with the bylaws.
Do you think the Senate should stop it, given what they are? I mean, you have a House of Commons that's expressed its will, even though conservatives in general voted against it. But do you, in principle, find that offensive, that they're going to stop a bill without even discussing it and send it back?
Those are their powers, and since we believe that this bill is being rushed through, perhaps this will provide the opportunity for the sober second thought and compliance to full evidence and actually take into account the overwhelming witness testimony through committee.
It's not supposed to be a Kill Bill movie over there. They're supposed to do sober second thought and then pass it. Anyway. Ruby, what do you think of this?
It's just very interesting that Shannon pointed out the promise that we're trying to keep, and it's not the only one. We've kept many promises. The gun legislation is also one. No, we won't go through it all today, but I'd love to come back and go through all of them. I do have confidence that the Senate is going to work through this. We don't have a policy in place mm-hmm. that's really working for anybody on marijuana. So this is a very important piece of legislation, and I'm hoping that the Senate is going to recognize that they do have a role to play, but we are the government, and this is a mandate, a policy we ran on. A lot of thorough work has been put behind it to make sure that it's regulated in the proper way. And I have confidence that I think we're going to get somewhere by this summer. So we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think independence in the Senate is a good thing, but it's going to... it's a work in progress, switching it
nice.
Over.
You still want to abolish it. We know that, Rachel. All right, good discussion. Thank you both, all three of you. We'll see you next week, for sure. Next week. Okay. Just ahead, the Americans and China go to war on trade. Please stay with us.
We're doing things for this country that should have been done for many, many years. We've had this abuse by many other countries and groups of countries that were put together in order to take advantage of the United States.
Well, almost any day wouldn't be complete without big news from the Donald Trump White House. But as that clip showed, today was no exception with a $60 billion Canadian trade war declaration. And there's always more, naturally. He also had a top lawyer quitting the president's team. ABC political director Rick Klein joins us from Washington with the details. Rick, we'll get to that trade war in a second. But could you bring us up to speed on this Trump legal beagle bolting for the door? What does James Dowd's departure mean?
Yeah, Dowd was one of the earliest lawyers brought on to the Trump legal team, and it's a large legal team, but he was one of the bigger names, and he's been out there. He was quoted just over the weekend saying that he thinks Mueller's investigation should come to a close given where they've landed. But believe it or not, he was actually one of the softer liners inside the legal team. He has been replaced, in essence, by another lawyer, an outside lawyer named Joe DeGeneva, who's been a frequent voice on cable news saying that the whole Mueller probe is illegitimate. So it was interesting because the president today said again that he would be willing to talk to Mueller. That doesn't seem to be the people he's surrounding himself right now. This suggests to me a more confrontational stance by the White House in talking about Mueller and the special counsel's office.
So I'm trying to figure out, does this move it one step closer to firing Mueller, or because Trump's talking about speaking to him, it makes his counsel more likely to survive?
What's interesting, I think, is he was moving toward an agreement to try to cooperate with the special counsel. So it suggests to me that the president wasn't happy with that agreement. We also know he's been quite frustrated by his legal team. He's been told, going back a year, that the special counsel's investigation would wrap up shortly. It seemed at one point they were saying by Labor Day, and then it was going to be by Christmas or the New Year, and then it looked like Valentine's Day maybe, and here we are in March with no end in sight. So he's been frustrated by that, and I think this movement, I think, suggests that frustration. It points to that frustration, and it also may set back the efforts to try to negotiate something with the special counsel.
All right, I got to talk about this, these tariffs on China, $50 billion U.S., I guess that's $60 billion.